Arizona Sports. The local sports leader. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset.
As always, it's busy around here. We got a lot going on, so we turn things over to Mitch so he can get us caught up on what's going on in sports. It is the 4 o'clock reset. Take it away, Mitch.
You want to push the button today, Burnsy?
Sure, I'll push it.
Go ahead. Here we go.
I've got a high level of respect for him. Kevin's going to be a head coach in this league very soon.
That, the voice of Frank Vogel, dating back June 6th of 2023, when Frank Vogel was introduced as the new Suns head coach, asked about the role that Kevin Young was going to play, as he was a big piece that was kept on staff after Monty Williams' departure. We lead with that because today, Kevin Young is now officially the BYU basketball head coach, replacing Mark Pope. I will point out, however, Gambo, and you guys are well aware, Kevin Young is going to be a part of the Suns staff through their entire postseason run before departing to BYU.
Yes, I double-checked with the Suns on this today, and I was told exactly that he will be with the team through the playoffs. Nothing will change until after the playoffs are over.
I got the impression that this is very much a dream-type job for Kevin Young. He's got ties to that university. He's got ties to that state. That this job is a big deal kind of job for him to be able to have. So while it might seem to some like, hey, he's not going to be an NBA head coach here, he's not going to be an NBA head coach there, I think this opening in particular was one that really, really appealed to him because of his family connections to that university. And so for that, it's going to be an unusual coaching situation for the Suns next year because a lot of it's going to be dependent on what happens this year. And obviously Kevin Young's not going to be a part of that. But for him personally, I think this was a job that he, when it became available, very, very much wanted because of what it meant for him.
Frank Vogel said it was more like a domino effect today. He has one person that he blamed at his media availability today.
This whole carousel started with another good friend of mine, Andy Enfield, leaving USC. You know, someone I worked with way back in Boston. I live a mile from in Manhattan Beach. You know, he's a good friend of mine, and then he leaves USC, and that led to Kevin Young leaving. You know, after five other jobs getting filled, like, Andy Enfield caused this whole thing.
It's your fault, Andy. It's your fault.
Well, the Jazz owner, Ryan Smith, who will now own the Coyotes, and Danny Ainge were both influential in the hiring. Smith is going to pay some of Young's salary, and he's going to put a lot of money into that program over the next couple of years. They want BYU to be competitive in the Big 12, so he can recruit right away. He's got to put together a roster. So they've got a lot of guys that haven't decided whether they're going to play next year. They lost their best recruit, a kid named Colin Chandler that went to Kentucky. So he's going to have to hit the transfer portal right away, but he can start recruiting is what I've heard.
Look, my immediate takeaway is there anything else that Ryan Smith has on his Arizona-related shopping list? This is a little absurd.
He's
now
coming after you, Mitch.
Seriously, before you know it, Mitch is going to be working at KSL in Salt Lake City. Bye,
exactly.
Mitch. Bye, Mitch. He's coming for you.
At least I would still be in the family. Come on. Other NBA news. Tonight we've got not one but two play-in games, both of the Western Conference ones. Lakers at Pelicans at 4:30. That's only a half hour from now. And then Warriors at Kings at 7. Pick the winners of just the two games tonight.
It's going to be the Lakers and it's going to be the Warriors.
So then you're thinking Pels Warriors for the 8 seed.
Yeah, but I'm
Pelicans
rooting.
Pelicans win tonight.
Ooh.
Okay.
Warriors beat Sacramento.
And okay, that would set up Warriors Lakers for the 8.
Yeah.
Which is just tasty.
I'm rooting for the Pelicans, but I think the Lakers will win tonight.
I think we can safely say we're all rooting for not the Lakers tonight. I think that's a safe bet.
Probably. You're probably right about that. Yes.
Other basketball news. One of the faces of Lob City with the Clippers during that late 2000s era, Blake Griffin officially announced he is done with his NBA career this morning.
It was an interesting career. It was a very interesting Lob City with DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul and Blake. I mean, that was a lot of fun basketball at the time. Didn't lead to a lot of, didn't lead to championships and a lot of success in the playoffs, but it was a fun brand of basketball to watch.
Yeah, it was. It didn't always live up to the hype in terms of success, but he certainly was. There was a stretch where he was one of the most entertaining players in the league. One of those you can't turn away or walk away when he's on because you might miss something spectacular. Yeah.
You would have just hoped that he would have been a little bit more healthy, unfortunately. The injuries just kind of got the best of him. Rough one yesterday for the Diamondbacks.
The 0-1. In the dirt, it skips away from Moreno to the right. And now rounding third, trying to score is Horner. The throw to the plate is not in time. Cubs tie it on a wild pitch.
And then from there, they went on to lose in 11 innings. So two things I hope for tonight out of the Diamondbacks. One, a win. That feels obvious. And two, enough of these home runs to Michael Busch. He has one in five straight now. This is ridiculous.
That was my key to the game yesterday.
It was.
That was my key to the game.
Michael Busch is hitting a lot of home runs. Don't let him hit a home run.
Former Dodger, by the way, so just another indirect way to torment us, I guess.
Score more runs late in these games. They're putting so much pressure on themselves, so much pressure on their bullpen. I mean, I understand that no team in baseball has more losses from their bullpen than the Diamondbacks do, but I don't think it's just fair to say that's the bullpen's fault. There has been so little run support late in these games. I feel like that's been the defining trait of this team if we're looking for a fault so far this season. They just don't score from the seventh inning on. It's a real challenge for them.
Man. Got to do something about that. Yeah, maybe make the game six innings.
There you go. Just call it after six innings. We're done,
can
right?
Can we add like mercy rule if the Diamondbacks score a bunch of runs in the early innings?
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
That'll help too. How about some NFL draft talk? Peter Schrager, well known with NFL Network, of course, he dropped his first mock draft, and he projects the Cardinals to trade back with the Giants and then take Roma Dunze at the sixth spot. Here's his reasoning for the Giants trading up. Merely a mock draft, but I could see this deal coming to fruition. Joe Schoen, the Giants GM, didn't draft Daniel Jones. J.J. McCarthy, who he has going at four, checks a lot of boxes, and Big Blue can get out of Jones's contract after this upcoming season. To stay or not to stay, Monty Austin Fort? Is this something that the Cardinals should consider, though?
That's the question we ask of thee, to be or not to be.
He is projecting. Yeah, Schrager is projecting that the Cardinals would get an extra third this year and an extra second next year to move down two spots. You'd still get one of the top three wide receivers, obviously.
Top two
wide receivers, yeah, the way things would go. I don't have the audio yet in front of me. I was going to send it to everybody tomorrow, but I did see on Twitter, that Adam Schefter this morning on their ESPN draft special talked about the Giants, and he said, quote, "The Giants say they have other needs, but their actions tell another story. They've put in a lot of work in the quarterbacks," close quote. So this idea of the Giants maybe getting a little antsy and moving up from six might be based in a little bit of reality, and Schrager might not be that far off when he suggests that maybe the Giants. I guess the question would be, is that enough for the Cardinals to get to move down two spots, an extra third, an extra second? That's what we'd all have to ask ourselves.
Good picks. Remember, second-round picks are supposed to be starters. Third-round picks are supposed to be, you know, good role players that can start or could be good depth guys. I mean, it all depends on how much you love the top two wide receivers, because you're still going to get one of the top two. If you've got them rated very, very equally, why not add the second and third rounder?
And then you know what they say about seventh-round picks. They become just 3 points short of winning a Super Bowl. I think that's the expression there. I don't know if you guys, by the way, saw the social media exchange between Buddha Baker and Paris Johnson yesterday.
I did.
So Buddha initially tweets out, for those who have not seen, "Rome equals WR1, hashtag go dogs, that is all." Obviously backing his fellow Husky Roma Dunze. To which Paris replied, "That's a funny way to spell Marvin's name, .. LOL, hashtag go Bucks." Buddha has since slightly recanted earlier today, saying, "Bugatti Marv equals WR1, wake up haters, that is all."
No love for Malik Nabers? No LSU guys?
We don't have any Tigers on the
Cardinals roster who's
planting
the flag.
No, they took all Clemson guys. That was the
Malik
Tigers
Nabers.
They took.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, right?
No LSU guys on the roster?
I'm sure there are a few, but I mean none that are like high profile. I can't think of any high profile
none that
LSU
immediately
players
jump.
on the Cardinals roster. I can't think of any. There might be one, but I'm not sure who it is. Anyway, fun. Fun when the players snip at each other like that.
Fun little banter. And then I want to close with this, because the biggest kept secret in women's basketball became reality yesterday. Caitlin Clark drafted first overall in the WNBA draft. This audio that I'm about to play is from a week ago. Diana Taurasi on with Scott Van Pelt. It's a good 30 seconds. She thinks that Caitlin Clark is in wake of a reality check.
Reality is coming.
Okay.
You know, there's levels to this thing, and that's just life. We all went through it.
Of course.
And you see it on the NBA side, and you're going to see it on this side, where, you know, you look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time. Not saying that it's not going to translate, because when you're great at what you do, you're just going to get better. But there is going to be a transition period where you're going to have to give yourself some grace as a rookie. And, you know, it might take a little bit longer for some people.
Any truth to what DT's throwing out there?
Oh, sure there is.
No, I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of NBA players that have come in as rookies and dominated the league. Just look at Victor Wembanyama playing against grown men instead of 18-year-olds.
Well,
right there,
he feels like an extreme example, right?
But isn't Caitlin Clark an extreme example? I mean, given the success that she, couldn't we argue that Caitlin Clark is just as an extreme example as Victor Wembanyama? I don't know.
That's
We'll see. Thanks, Campbell.
I didn't mean to sass you. I'm sorry.
That Indiana team won 5 games 2 years ago. And then I think they went to 13 games, won 12 or 13 this year. And there's a feeling like they'll be a playoff team this year with what they've done by adding.
I'm just going to say this, and I just saw the story cross my tweet deck here a second ago. The CEO of Fanatics said that Caitlin Clark had the highest selling jersey on draft night of any athlete in any sport in the history of the company. That to me is like more people went out and bought her jersey on draft night than a guy in the NFL who had gotten drafted, somebody in the NBA who had gotten drafted on the night of the draft. Nobody sold more jerseys than she did. This story is just beginning in terms of her ability to grow the popularity of that sport. Now that it's at this different level, I can't wait to see how it translates and how it grows and what it means for the WNBA game, because that blew me away, that little nugget that I read right there.
That is interesting.
And that is your 4 o'clock reset.